stand before you and present the word of God. But I got to tell you, it's also scary. Every single time I come up here, I get nervous knowing that I'm being put into a position to present the word. So if you don't mind, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to just have his way. If you will, just stand with me for just a moment. Because one of the things that I feel in the atmosphere, it feels like a melancholy feeling. Like everybody came in here today and you felt you came in here under obligation because it's church and it's Sunday morning. But the thing we have to understand is that every single time we come into the house of God, we are coming into a place where the very presence and the very essence of the living God should infiltrate and penetrate your very soul. So right now, everyone that's in this place, I want you to just lift your hands up. Just open your mouth, because today is the day that we get ready to call in the blessing of the living God. Look, I know that we're a Baptist church, but can we just go a little full gospel today and just call on the name of the Lord? Because sometimes we feel like it's just a chore to come out here and it's something we're supposed to do on Sunday morning. But I've come to tell somebody that this is the day of breakthrough. This is the day that God says, I'm getting ready to deliver you. I'm getting ready to break some strongholds that exist in your life. And the only way that's going to happen is if you got to come in here with an empty heart, expecting God to fill it. So I need somebody with some expectation to just open up your mouth and call on the name of the Lord in this place. Call on him like your life depends on it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today, thanking you, Lord, for the blessings that are getting ready to fall down in this place. Thanking you, Lord, for the anointing of God that's getting ready to fill the atmosphere. And so right now, Lord, we want a sweet aroma in this place, an aroma that's going to break chains, an aroma, Lord, that's going to put the enemy on the run. We declare today in the name of Jesus that we are blessed beyond measure. We declare today that we are more than conquerors. We declare today that we are victorious in all things because you have blessed us with all things. Now, Lord, hide me behind the cross that I speak your word and your word alone. And Lord, open the hearts and minds of the children of God that they may receive what the Spirit would say to the church. We thank you, Lord. We praise you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Since you're still standing, if you will, turn with me to, we're going to look at two separate passages of scripture. The first comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And then we're going to skip over to Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. Amen, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. If you have it, shout, I got it. If you're still looking for it, should be up on the screen any moment. Amen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Going to Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, and it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've got a praise that opens doors. You may be seated in the presence of God. One of the things that I like to do, I like to watch superhero movies and TV shows. One of my favorite superheroes is Batman. And Batman is just a powerful character to me because, for one thing, he doesn't have any superpowers. So that means that everything he does, he has to use his wit in order to get it done. And the only thing that seems to me better than a superhero story is a superhero's origin story. So one of my favorite shows is Gotham. And Gotham is an interesting show because of the fact that you have all these supernatural characters that keep coming out to try to destroy young Bruce Wayne. And in there is one episode in particular. I was sitting there and I was watching it, and when I thought about it, I thought about how God uses weapons to defeat the enemy. And so in this episode, there was a supernatural character that came out, and he was attacking Bruce Wayne and James Gordon, who is the commissioner, and Alfred the butler, and James Gordon and Alfred the butler has all this military training, and they have these weapons at their disposal, and they shoot the guy and they stab the guy and they throw everything they possibly can, and every time they hit him, he gets right back up and keeps coming because his target is Bruce Wayne, and he wants to destroy him because he knows that this young man has a future. And every single time you look up, they pull out guns and they shoot him and they fight him, and he is throwing them all over the place and beating them down and everything else. And when he finishes, he says, "You don't understand, because there's nothing that can stop me. It doesn't matter what you try to do. You can't stop me because I'm more powerful than you ever will be." And as he walks a little bit closer to Bruce Wayne, out of the shadow steps a character named Oswald Cobblepot. And when he steps out, this is a man who has no military training, no background training whatsoever, walks with a limp because he is disfigured. And when he comes out, he says, "I've been looking for you. They have weapons that they've been using against you that are not able to defeat you, but I've got something that can defeat you." And then one of his friends pulls out a rocket launcher and blows the character up. And I sat there and I looked at that and I thought to myself, wow. This guy who has no power, no training whatsoever, steps out with an unusual weapon to defeat the enemy. And his line at the end was, "You guys made a good effort, but you had the wrong weapon." I say that because there are many times here in the church that we keep trying to fight the enemy, but we keep using the wrong weapon. We keep coming, we come to church time after time after time again with the expectation that the reason why we're here is because as long as I come and I can fill a pew, then that means that I have enough power to defeat the enemy. But I've come to let you know that there are some weapons at your disposal, that all you have to do is access those weapons. And when you do, you put the enemy on the run in every situation that you're dealing with. And one of the most powerful weapons we have is the weapon that's inside of our mouth. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Because sometimes we don't realize that when you open up your mouth and give God a praise, something begins to happen. I think that's the reason why when we came in here today, it was so quiet, because the enemy feels like if I can just steal their praise, then that means that they won't have anything, any power that they can access and reach out to. But I've come to let somebody know today in this place that no matter what pain you have in your body, or what bad news you've received, or no matter what they told you on your job, if you open up your mouth, oh, I wish I had somebody in here that would open up their mouth right now. Somebody that came in here who said, "I need a breakthrough." Don't you know that you access your breakthrough when you begin opening up your mouth and giving God a praise? There's something that happens in a praise. Something powerful that God uses, because the Bible declares that you are made in the very image of God. And that means if you are made in the image of God, you have access to the same power that God has. So when we go back and look in the Bible tells us in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he create the heavens and the earth? He did not get any construction workers to do it. He did not come up with any blueprints. He did not come up and consult anybody. Instead, the Bible says he stood on nothingness, opened up his mouth and said, "Let there be." When he said, "Let there be light," nobody even knew what light was, but it began to shine. When he began to call forth the earth, things began to take place. I dare somebody in this place to open up your mouth and declare the glory that God has in store for you. So that means that no matter what problem you're facing, all you have to do is speak to your mountain. That's why Jesus was telling the disciples in the word of God, if you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, all you have to do is speak to the mountain and it shall be removed and cast into the sea. There is power in your mouth. But sometimes we use our mouth in the wrong way. The Bible declares that no filthy communication should come out of your mouth. The reason why no filthy communication should come out of your mouth is because your mouth is the most powerful weapon that you possess. And the way you use your tongue determines how you begin to dictate your future. So when you start speaking negativity into your own future and start talking about what I'm not able to do, then what you are doing is you're accessing that power that God has given you from the very foundation of the world. When you begin opening up your mouth and putting your mouth on somebody who was made in the very image of God, you are dishonoring the God of our saviors, and you are bringing down the one who is able to lift you up because you dare put your mouth on somebody else. The Bible declares that the only thing that should come forth out of our mouth is blessings and not curses. So that means that when somebody is going through something, instead of you talking bad about them, your mouth should open up to declare that God is getting ready to bring you out of this mess that you are in. So in the word of God, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Let's look at a stronghold for a second. Because a stronghold in the Bible was a fortification that was built up to protect the inhabitants on the inside. But sometimes a stronghold was built up as a prison to keep somebody locked up in chains on the inside. And so instead of keeping people out, it was built to keep somebody in. And so here in the Word of God, we have the Apostle Paul talking about the strongholds. And he says here that our weapons are powerful enough to pull down the strongholds. But let's go back for just a second, because the question becomes, how does a stronghold get constructed around you? A stronghold is never constructed around you. A stronghold is already built and put in place to keep you in captivity. But the only way you get into a stronghold is through a door. There are many doors that are set up to move you into a place. Doors that are set up to get you confined into a place. There are doors that the enemy would set up because if he can lure you in, once you get inside, he can close the door and lock you inside. And so if we look at a door, we can obviously say that a door is a level of temptation that occurs in your life. Have you ever come in front of a door and or a closed door and couldn't see anything on the other side, but you could hear something on the other side and you think to yourself, I wonder what's there. And so you reach out, put your hand on the doorknob and open the door and go in to see what's inside. Because we, by nature, are curious creatures. So it's easy for the enemy to set up a temptation for you because he's going to custom build it just for you. He knows what you like and he knows what you don't like. So he's going to set up something on the other side of the door so that he can lure you inside. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be an addiction. It can be a level of sexual perversion. It can be anything that he wants it to be. It can be alcohol. It can be where you're stealing something. Guess what? It can be cancer. It can be diabetes. It can be a disease. It can be poverty that's on the other side. The only thing the enemy wants you to do is put your hand on the doorknob, turn the knob, and go inside. Because once you get inside, he plans to close the door and keep you locked in. That's the reason why somebody can smoke cigarettes for years and keep every week they say, I'm going to quit smoking. Today's the day I'm going to quit smoking. And the next thing you know, 5 minutes later, they done picked up another cigarette because the enemy says, I already got you in this stronghold and now is not the time for me to let you go.
It got quiet. I must have hit a nerve.
In the book of Acts, we find the apostle Paul and Silas, and they find themselves locked up in jail because they had the audacity and the boldness to preach on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here they are, they're preaching the gospel, and a demon is following after them and trying to point out the fact that they were the sons of God, that they were preaching the gospel. And when they're walking along, they cast the demon out of the young lady who was following behind. And the men who owned the woman, watch this, owned the woman, because the enemy gets into a position where he feels he owns you. The men who owned the woman were angry because now their meal ticket was no more. So they had the authorities cast Paul and Silas in jail. And the Bible says that when they cast them in jail, they beat them first. And then they took them into jail, they pushed them in there, and they shackled their feet to the walls. Watch this. The enemy loves putting you in a stronghold. But the problem that the enemy has is that if he gets you in the stronghold, sometimes you may figure a way to get out. And if you can get out of the stronghold, you get in the very presence of the living God. So he says, I've got to do something to keep them from putting their hand on the door. So he shackles you to the wall. Because if he can shackle you to the wall, he restricts your movement. So here is the thing. When he puts you in the stronghold, he keeps you from the presence of God. But when he shackles you in the stronghold, his lies keep you twisted so that you cannot move out of position. Because if you ever get to the point of realizing, I don't have to be in this place any longer, then you're going to move out of the thing that the enemy has you in, and you're going to move in the very presence of God. So the enemy says, I've got to chain you up. So the way he chains you up is by feeding you lies. So that if you do have an addiction, then he says to you and your addiction, you'll never get clean. Your mama was an alcoholic. Your daddy was an alcoholic. Your granddaddy was an alcoholic. You ain't nothing but an alcoholic. And if you ever have kids, they're going to be alcoholics too. Change you up in a stronghold of cancer. And he says that there are a lot of people in your family who died from this disease. You'll never be the same again. This cancer will defeat you. You find yourself in a situation where when you look in your checkbook, you got more month than money. Your stronghold is poverty and a lack of resources.
And the enemy says that you broke and you always going to be broke. You're never going to get out of this situation. You're not going to find a job. You're always going to be in this situation. You're always going to be locked up in this place. You'll never escape from it. And that's what he intends for you, to be in a position where you look at your chains, and every single time you look at your chains, you say to yourself, why am I in this position? I cannot escape. This is where I'm going to be. The enemy has me bound. I'm locked up. I'm always going to be broke. I'm always going to be sick. I'm always going to be addicted. I'm always going to be this person, because you're locked up and chained up in your stronghold, and it seems that there is no escape. Do you imagine Paul and Silas in this place, and it's dark and it's damp? You can hear water just trickling down the walls. They've been beat in their face, beat on their backs. The stripes are still hurting. There were no bandages given to them. They're bleeding and bruised and bound up and chained to the wall. They're restricted and can't even move out of the place. And they're in a place that smells. Their stomach is growling with hunger. And here they are in this place, and they can hear the moans and groans from other prisoners who were there. Some of them cursing at them and saying things to them like, when I get out of this cell, when I get unchained from this wall, you one of those Jesus worshipers, I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get you. And they're in a place of despair and despondency, and they don't know what to do. And when you're in a position where you don't know what to do, when you're in a position where you feel like that there is no hope, that's when all of a sudden the light comes on and you start saying to yourself, I ain't got nothing to lose, so I guess the only thing I can do is just open up my mouth and begin to give God a praise. If I open up my mouth, it'll take away all of the pain that I'm feeling, because when I open up my mouth and I start praising God, I don't think of the pain. When I open up my mouth, I don't think of the despair. When I open up my mouth, there's only one thing I can think of. Jesus, I thank you because you're God all by yourself. I thank you because there's nobody like you. I praise you in my pain. I praise you in my addiction. I praise you in my burden. I praise you in my problem. No matter what I'm going through, I praise you because you're God all by yourself. And the Bible says, at midnight, while they were praying in the midst of their pain, something started to happen. The Bible says that at midnight, the ground started shaking. Because you got to understand, when God gets ready to bring you out of this thing, the first thing he has to do is shake up the very foundation of what the enemy is standing on. So he starts shaking up the foundation. You got to understand that when God starts shaking up some things, the enemy gets confused. Wait a minute. I got them in a stronghold. I got them chained up. How dare they open up their mouth and start praising God through their pain? And while they're praising God, while he's getting upset, God says, let me shake up this thing, because when he shakes it up, it moves everything out of position. The Bible says that when he started shaking it up, the chains fell off. Because when God starts moving and shaking up some things, the truth of the word of God exposes the lies of the enemy. And so now the chains fell off. And when the chains fell off, the doors flung open. Because when you are in a stronghold, God says, my praise is going to open up something for you. My praise
praise is going to knock all the shackles off. My praise is going to open a door and you can just walk right on out into the very presence of the living God. Is there anybody in this place that can just give God some praise because he's opening up the door? Watch this. In the Bible, the word praise is yada, and it comes from three Hebrew letters. The first letter is he, the second letter is telet, and the third letter is yud. And he is the fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and the number five means grace. The word telet in the Hebrew alphabet is also translated to mean door. And the word yod in the Hebrew alphabet also translates to mean hand. So that, and when you read that, the Hebrew language is always read from right to left rather than left to right. So when you read it, you see hand, door, and grace. I've come to let somebody know that every time you open up your mouth and you give God a praise, your hand is on the door that unlocks grace. And when grace is released, God said, I'm getting ready to pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. Somebody in this place, you ought to just give him a praise for every blessing that he's done, for every way that he's making, for every door that he's opening. Our God is a holy God, a righteous God, a worthy God. Somebody in this place, you ought to give him your best praise. As a matter of fact, I dare you to high five your neighbor and tell your neighbor, this next praise is for my breakthrough. This next praise is for my blessing. Everything the enemy stole from me, I'm taking it back with this next praise. I don't care what the enemy tried to do. Today is the day that he goes down. Somebody in this place, say yes. Yes. Yes, we have a God that loves us more than we can possibly imagine. And he demonstrated that love when he sent his son down through 42 generations, sent his son to walk down here on the earth for 33 and a half years, sent his son to die on Calvary's cross. Can you imagine? The angels in heaven are standing up and they're giving God praise for the plan of salvation that he put in place. And when he did, watch this, because the other word, the other part of that word, the word that means grace also means revelation. So when God took his hand, when praise filled the atmosphere, God took his hand and put it on the door of humanity and opened up revelation so they could see a savior hanging on the cross from the sixth to the ninth hour. And the Bible says he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders and he died on that cross. The Bible says they took him down from the cross, wrapped him in 100 pounds of spices, placed him in a new tomb, put a rock in front of the tomb, and he stayed there in the belly of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. But early on the first day of the week, he got up with all power in his hands. He put his hand on the door of the tomb and rolled it away. And he came out with so much power that the enemy could not even stand in his presence. And we have a God that did that just for you. His praise opened the door that your grace would be realized.
Your praise opens the door that his power would be released. The angels' praise opened the door that the revelation of God would be made known to men. And all you have to do is open your mouth. And not just praise him. But the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again, you will be saved. Power that's in your mouth because your praise opens the door. So right now, we're going to open the doors of the church. Because there may be somebody in this place today. There is a tugging that's at your heart. And that's the Holy Ghost saying that now is not the time for you to sit here any longer. Now is the time for you to get up and make your way down to the altar. Now is the time for you to open up your mouth and praise the living God. Don't sit in that seat and allow the enemy to keep you in captivity. God is now opening the door for your release. Will you come and give your life to the Lord today? If you don't have a church home, you've already given your life to the Lord. You love the Lord, but you don't have a church home. Now is the time for you to come that you might be in fellowship with him. That you give your very life to him by coming and becoming a part of his ministry, his family. And you may have backslid and walked away from the Lord. Now is a perfect time for you to come back home. Will you come? Will you come? Waiting for you. Would you come? Would you come? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.